This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Batoon, and today, to help me help you, I have two guests today. We have Heather Morris and Ava Bernstein Mitchell from The Dance Room in the studio with us.
Hey.
Yes, on the same time.
We do that sometimes.
We do, yeah.
We like say the so same funny. Word at the same time.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Without even like...
Oh yeah, it happens. Ooh. We also found a picture where we were like in the same position at one point. We looked over at each other like, why are you doing this?
What is happening?
Right now?
But it's not like
hips.
We've been close friends forever and ever. It's
just,
I don't know.
Since the podcast, we have like just welded together.
How did you guys initially meet?
Through dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably I would take class with you at Millennium for a long time.
Yep.
I think, like 13 years ago, I think we met that way.
Yes.
Not even like friends, just like meeting each other and then slowly started working together over the last couple of years, like just knew each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when were you guys like, we should do a pod together?
This one.
She
approached me.
Yeah. I looked and saw that there was really not very much like dance content for like a podcast space. And so I had asked her and a good friend of mine, Casey, I was like, hey, if you guys are interested, I would love to do this. And I pitched it out to Podcast One and everybody was on board. And Ava stuck with it and was like, let's do this. So
Yeah. What's your favorite part about doing podcasts?
I've always kind of wanted to do something like this. I went to school for communications and I love to talk to people. I love words and obviously I love my community. So I was like, let's do it.
Yeah. We were working on a job and she was talking about all these podcasts like she was listening to. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I love podcasts. Cool.
She planted the seed. I'm like, I didn't know that. Yeah. You were like giving advice on podcasts that you listen to.
Oh,
and
funny.
You were giving me recs.
I remember to Sophie. Actually, I remember. Okay. Yeah.
And I was secretly listening.
Yes.
In your notes app.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh. That's how things happen, though.
Totally.
People plant a seed and like months later, you realize it.
You planted it. Look at that. Well, some people don't do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it to fruition.
Yeah.
It's cool to know that anything can be a seed, too.
Yeah.
Like, especially when people are like, wow, this is taking so long and, like, my process is so slow. It's like, well, you might be planting seeds, like, every couple days that might not come to fruition for another year or so.
Yeah.
But, like, you never really know.
Or a couple years later, like, maybe you didn't see somebody, like, for 5 years and then they see you and they're like, I remember you said something about this. Do you want to still do that? And you're like, sure.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Sure, I guess. I love getting into anything by that. Sure, I guess. You guys may know Heather and Ava from their incredible dance careers or their podcast, The Dance Room. But we'll get into how you started dancing and all of the wondrous jobs you've done. But before that, I want to get to know you guys a little bit more with a game called Bursa Firsts. It's one round of rapid-fire questions, everything from your first job to the first time you cried in public, etc.
Oh, my God.
That's the most vulnerable
I've heard
one.
This game. I'm excited.
Nice.
I'm not good at it, though.
I feel like the tables are definitely turned because when we ask questions, people are like, oh, my God, I should have known these questions
about
beforehand
it. Yeah.
So I could think about it.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, God.
No, it's better
here we
when
are.
You can't.
Yeah.
Whenever I yell stop, you have to either explain, elaborate, or tell the full story.
Okay.
And since there's two of you, you can either go back and forth, or someone can pass. And the other person does it. Whatever you'd like. However you want to divvy it up.
Nice.
Okay.
Excited.
We go. What was your first job?
Dancing for Chaka Khan.
Nice.
At a Wee Women's Convention. Choreographed by Debbie Allen and Dave Scott.
Oh my God. Of course that was a job. That's great.
Yeah.
What was mine? I don't remember. It was something in LA. I don't know what sticks out. I remember I did work at a pizza restaurant on Sunset Boulevard.
Amazing. I've never had a regular job. Only dance job.
Yeah. So fascinating. Can't wait to get into that. First cell phone.
Ooh, a Verizon flip phone. It was like a thick black one and like the bottom flipped out.
Yes, I remember that too. I don't know what it was. I was in seventh grade and I remember the flip bottom and then like the pole top.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
I loved it so much.
I did too. Okay, and yours?
So that was the same thing.
Yes,
I don't know. I was in seventh grade. I don't know what the name of it was, but that was, it was everything.
First pet.
I grew up with dogs. I had like a Shar-Pei growing up, you know, those like really wrinkly dogs.
I did not know that was a breed. I thought that was just from High School Musical. Truly, until this moment.
Really?
I was today years old.
Yes.
I was today years old. Shar-Pei.
Yeah, mine was a cat named SP because she was black and white, salt and pepper. Yeah.
Cute.
Oh, we did have a bird named Bird as well.
I love that.
I love the creative liberty.
He flew into our backyard. He was a parakeet. Bird. We caught him and we kept him. His name was Bird.
That's amazing.
Love that.
Yeah.
First kiss location.
High school parking lot.
Ugh, that's gross too. Like a seventh grade party in the basement.
Basement. Out.
Everybody
work.
Was making out in the same room.
Like a group activity, but partners.
It was like,
oh my God.
Everybody's going to go in this room and make out.
Oh my God.
So weird.
That is so weird.
Still thinking about it, I'm like, God, what were you thinking when you were that age?
Oh my God. Wait, I want to stop this just to ask. Because had you ever made out before?
Never.
And so, was everybody on the same page of like, we're all really scared?
Yeah. I don't know. And I know, well, a lot of my close friends were like cool with that stuff. Like they had already kissed people. They had boyfriends for a long time and they were like open to it.
Yeah.
Which I think about now and it's very personal, but I actually know a couple of them were gay. So maybe they were like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I don't like guys. They didn't know that then.
Right.
But for me, it was, I was dating him at the time. And so we went into the room together knowing that we were going to make out.
Oh man.
And it was
a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. I feel like I didn't even enjoy it because I was so like nervous and was like anticipating that we were going to kiss. Yeah.
Have you ever been on those like WikiHow pages of like how to kiss or how to like?
No.
So if you get like a stain in your shirt or something, how to get wine out of my pillowcase or something.
Yeah.
And it has like little pictures, 9 steps to get it out. And it's like, try Dunger's soap, try this, try that.
Yeah.
They have those for like how to confront someone, how to kiss someone, how to like tell a lie. Like they have these.
I need to look this up.
Pictures, infographics of how to do this.
I'm surprised it's not on YouTube. Like people videos of how to.
Of the how-tos.
This is a very weird question, but on the heels of that, if you had to give like 3 tips on how to make out with someone that's never made out with someone before, say like a seventh grader, your seventh grade self or something, what advice would you give to them now? Like 3 things that you can do with anybody to make out that would make it delightful.
3 things.
Changed her position.
Yes.
First of all, a seventh grader, I wouldn't even recommend it to them, honestly.
That's what I'm thinking.
I was in high school when I had my first kiss.
Oh, good.
But
you were smart.
I was also. Yeah, I was ninth grade.
I would say less tongue to begin with.
Okay,
that would be my first
tip. Okay.
That would be my first tip. Because it's a little aggressive when you don't know what you're doing.
So you mean you think you have to put tongue into it, but really you don't.
You don't have to go
You really don't.
All
Wait
there.
Until you're ready.
Yeah.
Almost like push it too far because then maybe it'll be exciting when you do use your tongue.
Right.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Weird, but
yeah. Okay, less
That's
tongue.
One. Less tongue.
Less tongue. Mine saying don't do it in seventh grade. If you're not ready and you're nervous, like don't do it.
Get out of the basement.
Get out of the basement. It's a scary movie. Get out of the basement.
Third one.
What else?
make sure it's with somebody you want to do it with, meaning yes. like a friend or
somebody
like
that you want to
comfortable
look into
with.
Their eyes for a long time you beforehand. Know? I
yeah.
think.
Because like you really want to be able to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh, that's fun. Like having a best friend and being yeah. like, do you want to try this
you do
and
this?
Practice?
I know. I kind of always envy like people you. That Let's have talked this. About that. They're when they're saying like, oh, I did it with my best friend because we didn't know what to do.
I'm yeah.
like, damn,
right.
that sounds
oh, I do that. Yeah.
fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that sounds fun. Making out is super fun.
Oh, gosh. That was.
it's been a long time, but it is fun. Oh, no. Okay, moving on. First major purchase.
I think mine was a, a car. A car.
That is major.
That was my first major yeah. purchase. My first car.
Nice. Yeah.
I yep. would say my car or a condo. A condo's a big deal when you're...
Yeah.
That was probably my big purchase. Buying
nice.
A condo.
Huge. First choice in a karaoke book.
Oh, we've done this. Mine's No Diggity.
Nice.
I didn't have one. I know. Oh, it got silent.
The music was like, she's like, wait, I'm ready for you.
Even the music was like flatlining.
What have I done? I know. I don't know.
Pass?
Pass.
Okay, we pass. First internet screen name.
Ooh.
Dancer Diva J.
Yes.
I can't give mine away because it's still my email.
That's telling.
Roger that.
I love
Isn't that.
Isn't
that crazy?
First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone.
They're busy. They got life things.
Oh, nice.
Hello. That's what I think.
First celebrity
I know, that's true.
Crush.
Oh, first celebrity crush. Gosh. I want to say, and I can't think of his name, not Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but there was another guy that was a Now and Then, a white guy, and he was also in, what's the movie about the ghost? And
Casper.
Oh,
he was like the real life Casper kid.
Oh,
I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
yes,
I, but I was just so envious when he got to kiss that girl in the movie.
Oh.
I think mine was Jet Jackson.
Cute.
Nice.
yeah.
I definitely had a crush on Jet Jackson.
First concert.
Earth, Wind, and Fire in Las Vegas with my
nice.
Parents.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
special.
yeah.
That's super special.
Mine was Janet Jackson.
wow.
And I was like 7. Because
Work.
I was with my mom and my sisters wanted to go, and so I got tagged along. But
that's
I obviously,
some Janet prime time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was too little. I didn't really
right, but
watch.
You can say it.
Yeah.
didn't watch.
It was like her Dirty tour too. I think it was
right.
like Velvet Rope.
I mean,
when she
ooh,
was
that's what I'm saying.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
First scar.
My lip, and I still have it. I fell off the bars at school on the playground, so I have like a slice in my.
That's a good question.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Mine would be, I didn't really get a lot of scars growing up. We were fishing when I was like in third grade or something with some friends, and I got fished by a fishing hook on my hand.
Oof.
And it was my first
oh,
scar.
Same.
Oh,
yeah. So someone's
oh,
like
yeah.
casting and then
wow.
yanked you? Yeah.
Wow.
Mine was on my foot. That's crazy.
Oh, that was yeah. your first one too?
I don't think it was my first one,
it
but it was one of my most memorable.
yeah, for sure. Because you're scared. Well, you're like, oh my God, I'm stuck too.
I
right.
Oh my God. First thing you do when you like someone or you meet someone that you like, it doesn't need to be romantic.
Like romantic, just liking?
Or just like, oh, that's a cool person.
Yeah.
Well, but romantic would be.
I talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Engage in friendly conversation.
Yeah, I would say
that's
the same thing. Healthy.
That's very healthy.
Yeah.
so many people.
I think I used to get really awkward and weird and like
yeah.
try and be fun, but now I'm like,
yeah.
you know what? If I'm going to be me, like that's how we're going to make this relationship work
totally.
For a long time. Otherwise, you can ruin it by just like,
yeah.
I don't know, being stupid, I guess.
I know. I'm the worst person when I'm trying to be funny or trying to be cute. It's
I
like,
know.
Stop trying
yeah.
so hard.
Yeah, because then when you hang out with them at another time, you're not that person all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to love you for you no matter what.
Right. Should tell my younger self that. First show you binge watched.
Grey's Anatomy.
Ooh.
Back in the day.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't remember. I've seen too much.
I've
seen too much.
First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans.
Oh, my kid's sick.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I don't know that it... I don't know. I'm too tired. Honestly, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm too tired.
That's not an excuse.
I'm too tired, yeah.
I like that. And lastly, the first time you cried in public.
I cried. So, I mean,
yeah,
insignificant.
I think mine would
I was
be
a child.
Like, I don't think I'd remember that. I think I cried a lot.
Yeah. I still cry a lot.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay to cry.
Yeah.
Crying is the best thing.
Cathartic.
In the world. It's just my God.
Yeah.
It feels so good, especially as an empath. Like, I feel everybody's emotions.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh my God, this is like a draining weight. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's good to hear because I'm the same way. But lately, I heard your podcast that you had a bit on your Instagram about
crying.
About crying and how good it is for you. I'm like, yes, finally somebody gets it.
Oh my God, it's the best. I don't think people are talking about it enough. I think that's why I always bring it up.
Yeah. Like, who's going to cry with me here?
Totally.
I remember being in my bunk on tour watching Grey's Anatomy on my computer and crying, like full tears because this episode was just.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was like, I'm
really
in here crying.
I'm really here by myself crying.
Yeah.
I was on a flight the other day and I was next to my friend and I was watching like a not very good movie. It was fine. Mm-hmm. But like I was full blown tears. I had like a blanket and I was like,
do you ever watch other people's TV screens on a flight and cry too?
Yes.
I do.
Be in their business looking over to the left.
And I'm crying because I'm watching their movie.
It is. Just,
you have like no context, like, but you're just like, I can't hear a word
of what's happening.
But you're like, I'm
I actually recommended a movie once to Taylor, my husband, because I watched it on somebody else's screen and then we watched it and it was nothing of what I thought it was going to be.
You had your whole own narrative
my
of what
own
the movie
narrative.
Was. I love that. That's kind of a funny bit, watching a movie
it
in
is.
Silence and then
oh,
trying to
yeah.
come up with what the plot is, what the storyline is.
And then at the very end, you finally see what it is and, you're, like, oh.
Oh, that's not what I thought.
Yeah, shut it off. Done.
Oh, I love that. Have you ever, this is kind of a weird question, but I think it will work for you guys. But have you ever like recorded your choreography and then played other music on top of it to see if it like went better?
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
Do you?
I think
yes.
I've done it once.
Nice. Because like sometimes I'll just be like, oh, I don't like this. And then I'll just play a different song on top of it and go, actually, that's cool. And then I'll just like take some of those moves and like re-choreograph to a different song.
Oh, that's major.
I haven't done that in a long time.
But that was,
yeah.
It's a good idea.
This is cool to see. Or like you make up like an 8 count and then try to do it with a bunch of different songs.
Oh, yeah.
See,
I do
like,
that.
Where
sure.
you can
change
I'll
find a group that I'm like, this is great. Yeah. And then I turn on the song and like, this isn't the song I want.
Yeah.
You change
I
it.
Actually intentionally choreograph like that for kids. I just make moves so that it can go to any song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Life lessons, life hacks. Ava Bernstein, Mitchell.
Speaking of hacks and about tour bunks, tell people about tour life because I feel like so many people have no idea like what it really is. And I've been on like one weekend, so like I don't have any idea too. So tell us and me like what it's like. What's the best parts about it? What would you change? What notes do you have for tour life?
Tour life is not real life. That is first and foremost.
Great.
Because you get to you get to feel like you're in this bubble and like this world. And you're
people
not.
Will be texting you. You're not in the you're same not, life as you were at home. And it actually takes adjustment getting used to when you go home.
You
it
go
takes
home.
A good week or two to feel normal again.
Yeah.
Because you're just with the same people all the time. You're on the bus. You have a whole different schedule. It's like your whole life goes away, it seems like.
Yeah.
Back home.
It's really fun. It's also very tiring because people think traveling is glamorous.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting, especially when you're going by plane as well. But I think more so, like, it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot of camaraderie.
And I would say advice for management is don't, like, always pay for hotel rooms when you land in a city because it's the worst when you have to sleep on the bus and then you get to a city and you're parked outside of the venue because this happens.
Yeah.
You don't get, like, a hotel room for some productions.
Right.
You have to sleep on your bus before you go do your job on stage and look pretty and like cool
for
whoever and then shower. A lot of people have to shower in the venue downstairs where it's like dirty and gross and you have to wear like booties. You have to go buy your own booties at the CVS store and then go back on your bus and you don't have like a place to go decompress.
Yes.
Right.
I've had the best of both worlds. So my first tour was Justin Timberlake. They treated us like royalty. We always had a room. I don't care if we were only in the city for a few hours before we had to go to the venue. We had our keys right after we got on the bus.
Yeah.
We got to the hotel, single rooms, boom. Right after I finished that tour for a whole year, I went to another tour. It was real bootleg. And we were like 13 to a bus and we didn't get hotel rooms. If we did get a hotel room, it was a shared, so you could shower.
Yeah.
That was it. Otherwise, you're sleeping on the bunk and you're chilling in
the
venue.
And you have to sign off too on like sharing.
And
you sometimes, like when you're in a position where you really need money, like you say yes because you're like,
and that's the non-glamorous part of it is like sometimes you don't get the hotel rooms that you would like.
Yeah.
You just have to be ready for whatever the camp is providing.
When we were on tour with an artist, we were overseas, and so we had a private jet.
Jeez.
But, yeah, geez, cool.
Yes.
But it was, like, groups. There was, like, A group.
Oh.
A group. A party, B party, C party.
C party,
yes,
which is normal. But we were the dancers, so we were in the C party. And they had spacious, nice first-class seats in the front, and then it got smaller. And then in the very back, it was even worse than a regular flight.
Like, you're in the suitcase?
Like we were in the suitcase. Like, we couldn't recline. We were, like, it was smaller space than usual. So
it'd
I was
like that.
Dang you.
How crazy, because you're the ones that are needing to use your body the most.
Why?
Look,
that makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No.
Yeah, certain artists treat dancers very well. Others,
they just don't even know.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't even know that's going to happen
better.
Until they got there. And then they're like, shit, now I'm responsible for all these people.
Yes.
And
I know that must be really hectic for them too.
But
the funnest part is, I think, the bus. I've only been on like I've been on a couple, but we were just talking with Ashley Everett, like being in the back of the bus, like watching movies all night, smoking weed, like drinking.
You get to make a rider, so you tell them what you want on the bus. By the time the show's over, they've like put all the goodies on the bus,
so
and you're good. You're stocked up.
Yeah, you can play some games in the back. Like when you're super young, you're having fun, and you're like,
there's a lot of partying that happens on tour too.
Yeah,
I bet.
You know, it's fun.
It's like reality TV without the camera.
It is like reality TV without the camera.
It is. Yeah.
What about when because you're traveling to all these different cities, but like, how do you have your own routine? Like, what if you... No.
Routine.
No.
Yeah.
Really? What if you need to meditate or run or work out?
Well,
I guess you're working out.
Once you get to your city, like if you have days off, then you can kind of like acclimate and like take your time to do what you need to do. Yeah, so you can do that.
I was on a tour recently, and it's not a secret. I did the Dancing with the Stars tour, and everybody was doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had routines, and it was a little bit more of a mature of a tour. And so it wasn't the same type of feeling that I had on, like, a younger tour. It was, like, mature. Nobody drank after the show because they had a busy day the next day.
Right.
And it was, like, really adult.
You know what? Lies. When we got to a point where we did have to have a routine because we were all trying to get in shape for this like special that was going to be filmed. Mm-hmm. And so after the show, it was only like salads and protein. And then when we got to the next city, it was like we worked out in the morning, you know, it was like get up 9 o'clock in the gym, you know, and you had that kind of regiment.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to set that for yourself. Otherwise, you'll just live frivolously and like, I'll go around the town
Everybody's
today.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Right. The bunks, too, you can probably sleep until 2 p.m. because they're so dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how do you, I guess, have a real life when the life is on the bus and you don't really know what time day it is?
Yeah.
It's like a black hole.
It's like a black hole. You, like, wake up in your bunk, 2 o'clock. You're like, cool, I can just go walk in the venue now.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll arrive in a city at, like, 2 p.m. Other times you'll arrive in the 7 a.m. And you just kind of have to go...
Yeah,
based
with whatever.
Off of, with whatever. You're like, well.
Yeah, your drive could be like 6 hours, or your drive could be like
12 hours sometimes. You know?
So every day is different.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's like Groundhog's Day, I guess.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get bored doing the same choreography, or is it just, it's fun because you're not thinking about it and you can start just like, or have you ever like been on stage thinking about something else because you know the choreography so well?
Wow.
I don't think I could because I think I'd fall off stage or hurt someone.
Yeah. I don't think I've gotten bored.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think I ever did either.
No, it's exciting.
That's so great.
The new places and the, you know, new faces. And then you kind of like conceptualize your own way to approach a show sometimes. Like, we'll be like, you guys, tonight we're going to be cats.
Oh, cool.
So find a way to put like a cat move in there
or
whatever.
That.
Like, we'll do stupid stuff like that. You know,
that's so
fun. Or you
fun.
Just start like hanging out with people on stage, like making eye contact, being stupid. Like,
there's always room to be free.
Yeah.
So it makes it
really fun.
Unique each show.
That's really fun.
Yep.
Before you booked your first tour, how was the process of auditioning and knowing what the stakes were of a tour? Because that's when people move out here to LA to book jobs, it's like the tour is like the top of it. It's like TV, movies, tour, I think, kind of all up there. So when you're auditioning for that, how do you calm your nerves so that you can be the best you and not like put too much weight on what you could have?
Look, auditioning takes practice in itself. And also having confidence in who you are and in what you're doing. I have a great story because my first audition for a tour was, I wasn't even invited to the audition. I crashed it. I crashed it knowing because I knew in my soul, I felt like God told me, like, this was my job.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm supposed to be there. You know, my agent was like, well, if you go, don't tell them we sent you. And I was like, well, I'm going. And I went and I booked that thing. I was the only one from the audition who booked that tour. Otherwise, everybody else had already like kind of been chosen or whatever. But yeah, I guess I say that because you just have to know what's for you. And if it's not, that's fine too.
I feel like that's a really special quality. Because even if I say that out loud now, for me, I still don't get what I want. I'm like, I know it's mine. Yeah. I know it is, but I just don't get it. Because I'm just not the special. oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of go with it too. If you feel like it's yours and it didn't end up being, just know it was meant.
I think
something else was supposed to happen.
You were on to like what you were saying. Auditioning is like, it takes practice.
It takes practice.
You have to do it a lot. And you know you're not going to get those first like 10 or 12 jobs until you're used to auditioning.
And then two, it takes maturity. I kind of like started later going into auditions like it was class, where you're like, I'm just going to go dance. Let me do me. You know?
It was a free class.
I wasn't I don't know if you were like this, Heather. I didn't do antics. I wasn't that auditioner. I just was like, I'm good. I'm going to do the choreography, show them what I got. But I didn't, like, go up to the table and, like, flip things. And
oh, my God.
Oh, no. I was always scared to go up there because you don't know, like, you don't know who's who and who hates it and who doesn't.
Exactly.
But I would definitely always do, like, a jump split to the ground.
Well, for sure. Using your talent.
Using your talent. An aerial, maybe.
You know?
Whipping your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Something
All
like that.
All the things. But, yeah.
Now I'm more introverted about it, but. I think my struggle with like what you're saying in the beginning is more so with like acting. Like, how do I go in there and be myself?
Yeah.
That's
and
hard.
Then like be a character, because sometimes a character can really feel like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I feel so comfortable. But then I get in my head and I second guess myself. Ugh. Like, oh, are they looking for a character? And like, how do I go in and say hi to the casting director and be myself and comfortable and then like turn into somebody else? Like that's where I like the lines are blurred and I get really confused in like casting rooms.
I got one of the best pieces of advice was like for dance auditions is like, don't watch the other dancers before you perform because it can psych you out. I know some people like to watch, but for me it was better because you hear like, woo, and you're like, what did they do?
I know.
And then you're like, I'm going to go out there and try to do something magical.
Yeah.
And it's not you. You just do you, go in the corner, do your thing, boom, boom, and then go out. You know, it really helped me.
Yeah.
I stand by that advice for myself.
I think I heard something the other day, which goes for, I think, dance, acting, or just like being a person in general with other people. I don't know where it's from, and I feel so bad because, like, I told a friend of mine, she was like, can you tell me where you got it? Because I, like, want to credit that person. I'm like, oh, yeah, I would love to credit them, too. I don't know who said it. But it was, the room is better with me in it.
Oof.
So, like, if you're ever feeling like you're not worth it or, like, you're not good enough, if you just tell yourself, like, this room is better because I'm here. I've said that to myself when I'm feeling really, like, insecure, and my shoulders go up, my posture straightens, and then I'm just like, instantly, like, I'm here and I'm present and I'm good enough and all that I am is here.
I love that.
I love that mantra.
Really do.
Yeah.
I wish I know who said it.
Well, Lena Blackburn does that. She like does her mantras and she's like,
she's
my body is beautiful. My body. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
I don't talk to myself enough, apparently.
I don't either. I should.
I know.
My mantras are good. We'll get a mantra. We should all pick mantras maybe after the break.
Pick our mantra.
I would love that.
Pick your mantra. That would be so cute. On that note, we're going to take a little break while Heather and Ava give us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram. And we'll be right back with or without our mantras.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery
to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. We don't have our mantras, but we did put our names through a Wu-Tang generator.
Yes, we did.
What are all of our names?
We're inspired by Childish Gambino.
Yes.
We want to be like him. I, Heather Morris, will be forever known as Arrogant Ambassador, according to.
I mean, right. I, Ava Bernstein Mitchell, am Respected Dominator.
Yes.
Woo, come on.
Come on.
That's kind of awesome.
I'm Megan Batune. From this day forward, I will be known as Midnight Contender, which, like, I'm never up by midnight. So, right. Like, not going to work out.
Yes. Yeah, but maybe that's, like, your sly superhero time. Like,
right.
When you turn into midnight.
Yeah, it's like.
Contender.
Contender.
It's like anti-Cinderella. Like, yes. I don't turn into
right,
anti-Cinderella.
Right.
Or, like, the reverse. And Clementine's was Gentleman Demon.
Like.
Which, yes.
Which is a porn name.
Wu-Tang porn name.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Wu-Tang porn name.
Yes. Okay, so let's take a question from someone that wrote in.
I'm excited for this.
I love questions.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Bulky Ballerina.
Ooh.
I want to see her. Bulky Ballerina.
Bulky Ballerina.
Sounds kind of fun.
Hey, Megan. I'm a 21-year-old dancer. I've been doing that for 18 years now.
Oh,
I'm 5'8" and 170 pounds. I'm really muscular. Some could say that I'm bulky. And my dance squad is only composed of one type of girl, that really pretty, thin, elegant, long, and blonde-haired girl. I have a huge problem with my self-esteem and the way that I look. I'm a Chinese-Canadian mix, so I do not fit with them at all. My dance teacher often puts me in the back of the choreographies because I'm the tallest, and I'm always the one lifting people up because I'm the strongest. So do you have any tips on how to help me with me feeling bad about my body, or even how to distinguish me from the rest of these perfect Insta baddies? Thanks in advance. Lots of love and admiration. Bulky Ballerina.
Aww. Aww. I love Insta baddies in there.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. When you guys grew up, were you in a similar position as this? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did
I'm a thick girl. I'm a thick black girl.
Same. Well, yeah. Not all the way same.
Yeah.
Same.
I mean, you're already, I want to tell her, you are already distinguished because you are different.
Exactly.
And that's, you are needed. You are necessary and you should feel wonderful because you're not like everybody else. That's the glory of it. That's the awesomeness about it. And you just need to embrace that. That being different is awesome.
I want to know, are they giving her a hard time? Like, are they making her feel less than
right.
she
that
should?
That would be different.
Because if that's the circumstance, like, get out of that
part.
Place.
If that's, yeah.
It's going to make you feel worse than you already feel. Like, don't be somewhere where people aren't going to make you feel as good as you should, because you deserve the best of the best, because we can tell you're a great human.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, it's funny because it sounds like she's complimenting herself, but she's feeling bad about it because she's
right.
like,
she's the strongest.
I'm strongest, so I'm lifting people. I'm in the back because I'm tallest. I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, girl.
Like, take up the space
exactly.
you need.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, I would just say embrace your differences.
I think so, too. I think it's hard when you're in high school, especially.
Yeah.
Because around a bunch of people that don't look like you, like, it does feel like you don't belong. But something I always say is, like, fitting in isn't belonging.
Mm-mm.
Like,
yes.
We all need to belong, and that's just being around good people and good communities. But fitting in, like, do you want to fit in with these people?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to set yourself to a standard that you don't feel like it's you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't sound like a fun time to me. I'd rather quit that, not quit, but say, thank you so much. I think I'm going to try a different opportunity and do, like, I don't know, like drill team or something mm-hmm. that just would make you feel better about yourself or something that would, like, push you to, you know, see it a different way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will get better.
It will get better. And if you want to stick it out, man, like,
yeah.
I think
you'll appreciate your uniqueness later in life, if not now, but try to find it now because you are special.
Or like, sorry.
No,
you can go.
Go for it.
You go.
I was just going to say, when I was auditioning the most in my career, it was before, like, being thick was popular. It was before, I think, like, the rise of J-Lo's, like, third wave of her career. It's like, oh, now, like, thick girls are getting it. But, like, before then, I would never be booked because I was not tiny.
Yeah.
And it was just so much harder. And so then I mean, that's why I kind of like started doing my own thing that wasn't like based off of auditioning. Cause it's like, these people don't like my body. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm not a good dancer. Okay.
Okay. To figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think now people love strong, tall, thick bodies.
Okay. Janelle.
You're in, girl.
And Jade. Yeah. Like, these girls are like,
yes,
they make me feel good if I am not, like, I always think I need to be skinny and I need to look a certain way. But, like, I don't need to do that.
Right.
Like, I'm a mom. I don't have time to do that. Hey.
Find somebody who inspires you, who is kind of your stature or, you know, unique in their own way, and see
watch
how they're thriving.
See their magic.
See their magic. And maybe that'll inspire you to do the same.
Just for me. That's what I do when I'm feeling like, oh, God, I need to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I did the same exact thing. I remember, like, when I first started dancing, I knew that I wasn't as thin as all these other girls. And I remember watching Sophie, and I was like, oh, that she kind of looks like me, like this dark featured, like thicker girl, but she's like still like toned and great. And I'm like, oh, that's a good, healthy, like, body type to look up to.
Absolutely.
So, I think that, like, get yourself away from what's traditionally known as perfect and like the pinnacle of beauty of like these photoshopped tiny magazine style girls, unless that's your body type and that's something that's like natural for you.
Yeah.
And don't like
train your brain to fit, like dive into watching these people and not just like look at what's there, this blonde girl that's not you, and think that that's it. Like, train yourself to think the way you should be thinking.
Yeah. So many years I've been like battling with my thighs, and it's been like a huge thing. And I went to a Lizzo concert with one of my friends.
Yes.
And Lizzo was like, where are my thick bitches at? And I'm like, I'm a thick bitch. My friend turned around and she was like almost tears in her eyes. And she was like, that's the first time I've heard you like embrace your body.
Oh, I love
and I was
that.
Like, oh my God.
That's your friend cute. Sounds like a great friend.
She's incredible. And so that was awesome. Lizzo.
I do this every day. I'm like, let's turn on some music, let's hang out, and I'm like, yes, like I don't gotta be thin and skinny all the time.
Yes.
I think dancing in front of a mirror and feeling good about yourself and telling yourself that you're hot, like,
oh my God, no, but seriously, like I can look at myself in the mirror naked and be like, God, I look great.
Amazing.
And then I go around other girls that are like a twig, and I'm like, God, I just don't feel so good. Like, I know I'm not. But I think about that in those moments, which is such a weird thing to think about. But I'm like, always remember when I'm naked in front of the mirror and I take a selfie and I love it and it's great. I'm not going to show it to anybody.
I love it. Keep just progress photos.
Yes. It's for me. It's progress photos.
Yes.
But I think about those times when I wish I were
skinnier.
You
should remember those. Yeah.
Oh my God. It feels so good to like be okay with how you look. And I think I read an article somewhere that was like the neural pathways in your brain, if you tell yourself you're ugly or if you tell yourself you're fat, then you are blocking a bunch of receptors that won't allow you to kind of like fluctuate and like remove your toxins so that you'll hold on to all this weight. So if you just like continually say negative things about yourself.
Yeah, if you sit there and tell yourself you're old, you'll be old.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever done this? You catch yourself saying, I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Like, all the time.
All the time. And then I'm like, stop saying you're tired.
Right.
Because you're just going to be tired.
Exactly.
I've literally had to stop and tell myself, okay, stop saying it. We know. We get it.
We
get
yes,
it.
Yes. That happened to me last week. I was like, Heather, we know.
Right. We know. We know you're tired, Ava.
We're good.
Right. Yeah. It's not helping anything.
It's not helping anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So what, I guess going one step further and going a little bit more practical, because she asks, do we have any tips on how to help her with feeling bad about her body? So we've given a couple of like, find good role models, body role models.
Find somebody who inspires you.
Yeah, and I guess like stop trying, or don't try to box yourself into what you think beauty is. What else have we said before we add on like one more? Dance in front of the mirror naked.
Dance, definitely do that.
And say nice things.
Yes.
That's really good.
Always say nice things, reassure yourself.
What's another good way to feel less bad about your body? I think accepting it is the first thing. Like I said,
it's
with my thighs, 100%. It took me.
The first time you say something out loud, to cut you off.
No.
You feel so much better when you acknowledge what's wrong outside.
Yeah.
Like verbally, not saying like something's wrong with you outside, yeah. but like verbally saying, okay, this is what I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
And that's.
And change the way you speak about yourself. So like you said, I'm the strongest. I'm the tallest.
Yes.
Say that in a positive way instead of a negative way, because those are positive attributes.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering if she's actually talked to the coach, and expressed her concerns, not in a group atmosphere, because I don't think that's the way to do it, but like don't take a piece of paper and go in the front and be like, guys, I don't feel good about myself in front of you guys, but like go to the coach and say, hey, I'm feeling like this. And maybe it's just in my head, but like, is there a way we can work on this? Or
she could probably get some research from her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think when I first started dancing or even like in cheerleading when I was young, I would always like the coveted spot is kind of like front and center, right? Mm-hmm. But like when people are either short or tall, you're either on the sides or in the back. Did that ever affect you guys when you were coming up? When you were like, oh, I'm not in the front or I'm not getting a solo. Like, did it ever affect you in a way that you were like, I'm not good enough?
A little bit. Not too much. But I do remember I called myself a back row dancer. My mom also called me that because I was always put in the back, you know. But during my adolescent years, I was in the back row. But once I got out of that, like, then I shined. Like, then I started to become my own and all that stuff. That's why I was trying to tell her. Later, it will get better.
Yeah.
Once you get out of this closed environment of sameness.
You only see the same thing every day
and you're around, you know, the same and the familiar and all that stuff. It will get better if you allow it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did struggle with that a little bit. Yeah.
It's hard to, especially when I've said this somewhere before. I think I was maybe just talking to a friend, but like when I was actually talking to myself. I wrote it in my journal.
Great.
Because I was at a casting and there's like four other girls and we were up for this job, like a huge job that was like so exciting for me before I got there. And then I was like, oh no, when I got there, I was like, everyone here is better than me. Everyone has done more stuff than me and everyone's more confident than me right now. But like I'm being confident, but I don't know it because inside I'm dying, but outside I'm you know, acting like a normal functioning human. Mm-hmm. And I wrote in my journal, I was like, when you rate yourself against others, you're always going to come last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you would never put yourself first.
Wow.
If you're like, am I better than this person? Right. Like, where do I land on the scale of talent?
I always like going to an audition or casting and you meet someone who's just like cool.
Yeah.
And like talking to you and not worried about everything else and everybody else. Yeah, there's where you have to put on your headphones and do your work. But like when you meet someone who doesn't care about status or if you've been in this or been in that and they really are just like a genuine person you've seen at multiple castings.
Yeah.
I'm like, I aspire to be like you.
Yeah.
You make me feel really good every time I see you.
I love that.
It helps me because I'm like, okay, I could be cool at auditions. I'm nervous, but talking to people sometimes makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And makes me not so in my head.
I love that. What's another?
So does she need to start talking to her friends more? Like, does she feel outcasted from those girls then?
Right.
That's important too, that we need to find out if she.
Like,
does
she feel disconnected?
Yeah.
That seems like that maybe that's where it could be coming from.
Yeah, you need to get out of.
Absolutely. I mean, that goes back to community, like really having people that you can just talk to and feel comfortable with, like safe space. Hopefully she has people outside of this dance world that she can also talk to. I think having different perspectives really helps too.
Yeah, taking a step outside of yourself and like watching your friends who aren't in it and being like, how are they living their lives? Okay, well, I mean, if they're not so worried about like these girls, that's easier said than done, but definitely. Yeah, like I'm curious if the atmosphere there is like cattiness or if those girls are making her feel that way or if it's just she's in her head and she's thinking too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, you can be really misguided by what people are thinking when really they're not even thinking twice about what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that goes back to she could even say to herself whenever she's feeling really outcasted is the room is better with me in it.
Yes.
Because it is. These girls couldn't get lifted without
you.
Hello. The formation wouldn't look good without you because it's a whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's never, it's so much less what we think of in our heads that it is.
Exactly.
It's always in our heads.
Yeah, it's always in our heads.
But you're a good girl.
Yeah.
Call back in. I would love to hear.
Yeah, I want
to
know too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got you.
A little follow-up. Okay. the next section. Before we go, we have one last game, but before we get into that, I would like to know a little bit more about the breakdown of the dance career in general, because I think it's so elusive for people that aren't in it, or even the dancers that are in it and just don't get booked very much, but you guys are consistently working. So I, from the beginning, like before you started working, how were you feeling? Like, how was it before you like finally broke? Like, how much did you have to try and hear no? And how did you kind of pick yourself back up off the floor to get into another room?
Man, it takes a lot of training. You want to perfect your craft. And then when you start auditioning, that's another phase and another skill in itself. So you're trying to find your identity. You're trying to find how your what your look is. You're trying to find where you fit in exactly. You know, what kind of jobs are you, you know, supposed to be doing or auditioning for? And because that can differ from film, TV, stage, how you present yourself, you know, all those things. And lost my train of thought, honestly.
Nice.
The question was,
how do you pick yourself back up when you hear no all the time before you got a big break?
You just have to know that you're going to hear no. It is part of it. It's hard, but you also will learn that what is for you is going to be for you, no matter what it is. You know, you just do your best and prepare yourself and what's going to be for you. And it's not always going to be about your talent. That is.
It's true.
It's like, what do they say, 70%? About your look and 30% your talent.
Oh, you know, because you'll go, people don't know this, but you'll go on audition and it's a catacall. And so they have to do, what is it,
typecast?
So you stand in a line next to people from tallest to shortest, and then the choreographer whispers to their assistant and they're like, I want her, I want him, I want him, I want him. And then they go and they tap you. They say, thank you, please stay. Thank you, please go. Thank you, please stay.
Because they have a certain thing they're looking for, and you may not just be it. You
could be the first couple times it sucks.
Yeah.
And then afterwards you're like,
then you'll start to appreciate it though.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, it wasn't about my talent.
Right.
They just needed a blonde.
And I didn't need to waste 2 hours.
Yes.
I just could come here and then leave.
So there's so many things that, I mean, experience will teach you what is expected in the dance industry. But there's just so many things that it's really just not about your talent. So that's the hard thing, actually, to wrap your head around is, you know, it's a business as well. You know, how you look, who you know, how you carry yourself, what your reputation is, and all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, I don't want mine to be a super long-winded answer, but it kind of is. I felt like I prepped myself really young because I was really competitive and I was always dancing and I was always in competitions and I was always trying to get like Miss Teen and like all those things. And I was assisting at a young age, but I lost my dad when I was 14 years old. And thank you. But I poured myself into what I was doing so hard because it was such a great distraction for me and it was something I needed. So as hard as it was then, like I was 14 to 18 years old, like competing for all these things. And I had such high expectations because, you know, I was just like, I'm going to be Miss Teen of this.
You and wanted
I'm
gonna, all the titles
everything.
And the
I wanted
and
to be the best of the soloists and do that and be an amazing hip hopper. I was always in the front, like learning the combo so I could get seen. And it never really got me what I wanted. Like, in that world, I never was like first. I was always second. And same with, I went to So You Think You Can Dance season 2 auditions. And I made it to the top 40, not the top 20. And like my best friend got on and I was like devastated because I thought that was the way it was. And it was kind of like not in any way kicking me down lower. It was just like teaching me what I needed to know for when I got out here in LA and I started auditioning. Like, I just didn't really care if I won. You know, like,
that,
I was like,
that is a,
I'm just like here. I got my extensions on, hanging out with my friends, like having fun, doing whatever. But also, like, you know, trying to kick ass.
Yeah,
I guess.
Is that when, like, when you stop trying to be the best? Is that when things like picked up? Like,
oh, God, no. I mean, I still tried hard to be the best as a dancer.
Right.
I mean, how many times did I go to Millennium and take class alongside Ava Bernstein, like with Kenny and like trying to be good?
Yeah.
You know, not the best, but like working way too hard. You know what I mean? Like
you
harder than
you
I should have at 18, 19.
Yeah. The reason I asked is because I remember being so disheartened by all the dance auditions, and there was, I was like, I'm going to stop auditioning. But I was like, there's one last one and I'll go to it because why not? Mm-hmm. And like, usually I would like, back when I was auditioning, like it was those like studded bra tops.
Yeah. Girl, like, yes. Oh my gosh.
My best friend always had them.
That era. Oh man. Yeah.
And so like, and I'd never had any of that. And like, I didn't want to get ready. And so like, I got dressed as I would just go shopping. I had like a kind of like tattered like band tee and put ripped jeans on and Converse. And it was for, shoot, I forgot what it was for, but it was some like Filipino or Latin artist. And I was like, I don't really care anymore. I'm just going to go do this thing. And I didn't care about being sexy. And I didn't care about really, you know, like showing off. I was like, my freestyle is going to be my normal freestyle, which is not impressive. And I was like, fine, let's do it. And I did it and I booked it.
See?
And I was like,
see,
because
you love those stories.
But wait, I have a
your story
to go that? Back to back that up is my the first job I ever booked was the similar because I walk in a room and I was like, what am I doing here? Everybody had like fishnets and chains and things and things as like outfits. Yeah. I was in a wife beater and like,
did you just come from school or something?
Some sweatpants. Like, yes, I was 16. And Debbie Allen says to the room, she's like, y'all got too much stuff on.
Yes.
She said, take some of that off. She said, we're just here to dance. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I was what she was looking for.
Right. Right.
But I felt so out of place because everybody was doing, having
the most.
Worn the most. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I love
the most.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a fun story.
Yeah.
But girl, I feel you. Yeah. See, you're just yourself and it worked out.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that too. Oh, last job I did, I think. What piece of advice do you wish someone told you before you got into this industry? Entertainment, dance, TV, kind of all of it.
I don't think I would have listened if somebody
gave me
advice.
That's what I always say too.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would have told me it wasn't just about my talent. Earlier on, that I had to figure it out. Like,
I think I
didn't
knew
know that
because I had
didn't know
best
that.
Friends that were like not as talented. God, I hope like nobody's listening and is like,
but
oh my
true.
God. But the, you know, maybe equally as talented, but like they did the things, they wore the things, and maybe they were like very outgoing and like made friends with people. And a lot of times at work, it's like people are friends and they know the choreographer or they want to be working with this person because they're, you know, of like a quality that they have that's helpful on set. Like maybe they're really good at wrangling people or I don't know, like stuff like that. I don't think I would have listened if somebody gave me advice.
Yeah.
Now I would.
Yeah.
I love that. No, that's what I wish. I wish they would have told me and helped me. Find it.
Right.
Yeah.
You always wish somebody help you find that.
Eventually someone did, but yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I think that's really good advice. Great. Okay. One last question before we get into the game. Do you guys have any pre-show rituals or pre-audition rituals? Anything that like anytime you're nervous, do you always do something, whether it's like take three breaths or like do a push-up? Like, do you do anything in order to get your head in the game?
I don't usually, but for like a particular show we did, and I love to share it, always pray. And then we do this thing where you count down from 10 and you shake out your limbs.
Oh, yeah. It's an improv exercise. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, and you do your arms, your feet, and it really helps. And you get down to one, and it's just like, and everything feels like, and you're ready. I love doing that.
Oh, that's so good.
I did that before, like, we were doing a Mariah Carey show in Vegas, and we did that every night. It's awesome.
Oh, that's sweet. I love that.
Yeah. I have an Apple Watch, so most of the time it'll remind me to breathe. And I think
are
the most opportune moments when I'm really needing it.
Yeah.
Because it can tell maybe my heart rate's up or something like that.
Oh, really? Is that why?
Yeah. So your heart rate goes up and it'll remind you to breathe. It'll say, take a minute to breathe.
Oh,
I love
my
that.
Gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
That.
It'll
that
tell
is.
You when your heart rate's off too. So a lot
girl,
of times it's when I'm not.
Girl, calm
down.
That's what's telling you.
I wish it was like I could cuss and say, girl, calm down.
Girl, calm down. That's so funny.
Yes.
But I do love at family dinners, and I think it would be fun to do this maybe in a job at one point, is like, say what you're thankful for before you do something.
Yes.
Like what are you thankful for, or
too,
what have you loved the most about this being in this city or something like that? Because then you're just getting a chance to connect to somebody again, like I was saying in auditions and stuff, getting to connect with somebody and seeing it from their perspective. And not your own.
Yeah, like
I guess
grounds
that helps.
You.
Yeah.
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 I like that. Did you have any?
Oh my God. No. I would breathe and I would do push-ups. I had the last performance I remember being so nervous about because I had like performance anxiety, like doctor prescribed, like you're not okay on stage.
Ooh, yeah, that's real.
Wow. Yeah, and so I remember like hugging my boyfriend at the time years ago. I think it was like a carnival or something. And I was like really, really nervous. And so I was hugging him and then I was hugging him so tightly that he was like, you got to stop because you're making me nervous now. Oh. And I was like, this is not supportive. This is not supportive. Right. Yeah. Oh. But yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. I think now it'll probably be the room is better with me in it.
Nice. Thing. Okay.
Just that mantra again. I love that one.
I do too.
Okay, wrapping it up, we have a section called Tip Jar where people send in one or two word suggestions and we have to give one piece of advice using only three words. So if it was like LA parking, you'd be like check signs always or something. So we have three words only that we
Good
can
reference.
Use. Thank you. Yeah.
Relatable.
Since we've been talking about this one a lot, we can start here with dance auditions. Three words only for dance auditions.
Don't watch anyone else.
Ooh. That's four, but we'll take
Is
it.
Anyone, don't watch anyone.
Oh, that's good.
Don't watch anyone.
Okay. Oh, I want to like, Those I want to say the same. Okay.
Well, I can't. It's like four, but like not.
I trimmed mine.
I don't know how. Mine is, but it's the bigger picture, but the bigger picture.
Go. Yeah. I think mine is, it's fine regardless.
Yes.
Yeah. Regardless. Cute.
I like that.
Cool. Okay, the next one is pedicures.
Oh, God.
A must have.
Yes! Mine is going to be OPI bubble bath, which is a color.
I don't know. This is hard. I don't know why. I don't ever really like...
That could be your answer. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That'll work. Do you have three words, tips on germophobia? Being a germaphobe or any germs in general?
Wash your fucking hands.
We can allow the fucking because that just is extra.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Totally.
Sanitize hands always.
That's good.
Always cute.
I do like hand sanitizer.
Ooh. Wash your hands.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Wash your fucking hands.
Oh, you said that.
Well, and like because I have kids and so they come home from school. And so the thing is wash your hands after school, wash your hands before you eat.
Yeah.
Because germs are crazy.
Yep.
Always wash your hands. It's going to help you a lot.
Wow. Okay. I think just to echo how intense this point is, I'm going to say wash your fucking hands.
Yes.
Intense.
Okay. Walking around at night.
Keys in hand.
Ooh.
Knuckles.
You do
that's
that?
That's what I do.
Oh, shoot. I should probably start doing that.
I'm scared as fuck, people.
Wow, I know. I know.
Always stay alert.
Yeah.
Walking around at night. Don't be alone.
Mm. Mm.
I think all of those
good
are pretty
advice,
good.
Guys.
Yeah, agree, everyone. And the last one is hydrating. Three words on hydrating.
Drink your water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hydro flask.
I was going to say something similar, but I think we'll end on that. Yes. Heather and Ava, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you on the internet? You guys have your podcast, The Dance Room, and then also your own socials. So hook them up.
You can find me on Instagram at AvaFlave1, the number, not the word. And that's about it.
You can find me on Instagram at Heather Elizabeth. That's Heather with two R's and Elizabeth at the end with two H's. It's confusing. Twitter, I don't do it so much.
I don't tweet.
Sucks.
And it
I'm Heather
sucks.
Morris TV. I wish I did. I get on it and then I'm like,
Is it just like the pressure? Or are you like,
no, I just like don't care.
I don't have time to be involved in all
I feel
social
about
walks.
Facebook.
I can't.
Facebook is not even existent. But I connected my Instagram to my Facebook so I don't even have to think about it.
Oh,
so
and if it just
I
goes direct.
Do my pictures, it just goes direct.
Does it have the link, though, or does it have, like, the original media?
No, I think Facebook is original media. If you connect them.
You can connect them. It makes a new page, though.
What?
Yeah, it's a different page.
Yeah, but you have to create your own business page.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Advice.
I'm learning so much. Guys, listen to The Dance Room. I'm going to be on it right after this, so make sure to subscribe to them. Rate both of them 5 stars, this one and that one.
Please.
Yes, absolutely. Share the wealth. If you guys have a sticky situation or burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age, and we'll give you what we can at the time we can. See you next week on Just a Tip. Bye.
Burning concern, I love
that.
That's great.
That was a HeadGum podcast.